As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Exodus chapter 20. You know, we've gone over two of the three commandments. Okay, see, it's not theologically sound. Right there. We've already gone over two of the Ten Commandments, okay? And the first commandment here, Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me, tells us to worship the right God and do not worship false gods. The second commandment, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. This tells us to worship the right God in the right way. Okay, in other words, do not make a carved image of the Lord, is what that is saying. Don't make a carved image of Yahweh. Don't do it. Don't do it. So, when the Israelites made the golden calf, that's what they were violating, the second commandment. They're violating the second commandment. And so they made Yahweh into the image of a golden calf, okay? And Exodus 32, verse 4 tells us, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So they pointed the golden calf and said, this is your God. He's the one that brought you out of Egypt. No, not the golden calf, but they're making Yahweh, the Lord, into this golden calf. And so he goes on and he says, so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation that tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh, the Lord. So again, they made an image of Yahweh. They're violating the second commandment. Okay. Now, there are positive and negatives to each commandment. Each commandment has positive. If it says, don't do this, then there's something we are supposed to do. If it says, we're supposed to do this, then there's something we're not supposed to do, okay? And we didn't quite get into it last time, so don't make any carved images of Yahweh. Okay, now, what are we supposed to do? Well, the positive side of this is the reason why we're not to make a carved image of God is because God has already made an image of himself. Who's that? You know, I love that. You both said two different answers. Both of them are correct. Okay. Some of you relied on the second great answer, Jesus, you know. And that's true. That still works. All right. But he also made us in his image. Look at this in Genesis 1:26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Speaking of the Trinity right there. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. For what purpose? To have dominion. Again, verse 26 said that. Verse 28 also says that. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. God granted mankind to rule and have authority over all the creatures. However, bearing the image of God, well, they decided to listen to a snake in the Garden of Eden. And so Adam and Eve betrayed being an image bearer for God. And as they listened to Satan, now that image is marred. And the moment they chose not to bear the image of God, you know, being in obedience to him, they decided instead to bear the image of the one they would listen to, and that was Satan. And so in his sin, we became marred in sin just like Satan did. And so we could not truly bear the image of God anymore, okay? Now, fast forward, God calls on Moses. God uses Moses to bring the children of Israel out of captivity to Mount Sinai. And we read this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, Exodus 20, verse 2. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Why? Because you are now going to bear the image, my image. Other nations are going to see you who I am through you. And because of this covenant relationship we'll have through the law of Moses, which is going to require obedience, which will bring about my blessing, the other nations are going to see that. They're going to see your image. They're going to see my image in you in this right relationship with me. But Israel failed to live up to the image bearers God wanted them to be. And so again, fast forward to Jesus. All you guys who answered Jesus, here we go. God's redemptive plan for humanity involves the restoration of the divine image in humanity. So in Colossians 1:15, we read this. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Remember, God is spirit, okay? So Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In verse 16, for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things are created through him and for him. Interesting when you think about that, okay? Why did God create the world? Why did God create earth? Well, for us, for humans, look, created for him. Created for him. Now, verse 19 of Colossians 1, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. And just in case that's not clear enough, in Colossians 2:9, for in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Fully God, fully man. Jesus became the perfect image of God. Why? Because he is God. Because he is God. The Hebrew author also confirms this when speaking of Jesus in Hebrews 1:1. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus was the express image of his person. Just so we get the understanding of when Jesus is down here and how he is the image of God, we're not talking about the physical image of God. We're talking about the expressed image of God, meaning his personality, meaning his character, meaning his attributes, meaning all those things. So if you want to know what makes God mad, look and see what makes Jesus mad. When did Jesus ever get mad? Well, I noticed the overturning of the tables, the money changers' tables. Why? Because they were charging exorbitant prices in order for people to make sacrifice. That's why. Extortion in his name. They're on the temple grounds where people are supposed to come and meet God, and yet they're met with extortion. Oh, yeah, that ticks them off. You know, that ticks them off. When a church, I think, becomes more about making money, I think that makes them mad. I think that makes them mad. The only other people that I can recall, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the third one, so you should have been here last service if that was the case. I only see Jesus getting mad at the religious leaders. I got to tell you, that's very sobering for me. Very sobering to me. To misrepresent God to the people, I don't want to do that. It's one of the reasons why it says that teachers are under a stricter judgment. You got to be very careful of what you say about God. He's this, and he's never this, and he's this. And make sure, you know, that you see that in God's word, and you're not speaking out of turn when it comes to God. He doesn't like that. He can speak for himself, you know. And you don't become some sort of a minister, okay, that shows God in the wrong light. You don't want to do that. As we'll see here in a moment, Jesus seem to call them a brood of vipers, snakes. Wow, you know. And so he's the express image. If you want to see you know, what he's looking for in people, he seems to be looking for humility. He keeps talking about that, and you have to come like a little child, and don't hinder the little children from coming to me. Don't think you're so important that that kids can't come to you. And it's one of the reasons why when it comes to babies, we dedicate them to the Lord, okay? But when it comes to baptism, they have to make a profession of faith. Well, sometimes little kids make a profession of faith, and you're kind of going, was that really a profession of faith or not? I don't know. I'm not going to hinder any child from coming to me. You know, why do you want to get baptized? Because I love Jesus. All right. Let's do that. Because that's actually a pretty good answer, okay? That's actually a very good answer. Now, it's not, you know, when I teach on baptism, I don't just say, so long as you love Jesus, get baptized. I explain what baptism is all about, you know. And so it is an outward declaration of an inward transformation, and it's good to understand what that is before you're baptized. And it's not necessary for salvation. It's necessary for obedience. And baptism is actually your profession of faith before others. It's not just coming down and receiving Jesus. It's being baptized. Because you understand what receiving Jesus is about, and now you want to make a public declaration. Yes, I am a child of God. Boom, baptized. So we are image bearers, okay? Jesus is the expressed image, okay? We're never told, you know, again, how tall he was, or, you know, did he have blue eyes or brown eyes? I mean, we're not told any of that. We just see his personality. We see his attributes. He's the express image of his person. In Romans 8:29, when we receive Jesus, we now become the image bearers of Christ, of God himself, okay? It's one of the reasons that Paul would tell us about believers, that in Romans 8:29, as a believer whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. If you've received Jesus, you're in this process of becoming conformed to the image of his son. And so that image bearer that we're supposed to be is supposed to reflect Christ. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, this flesh. The inward man is being renewed day by day. That's the conformed to the image of Christ. And so you don't become super Christian overnight. Okay, it takes time. 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that means Adam, we're all born in sin. So the moment we're born, we bear this image of fallen man. Okay, but once you receive Jesus, guess what? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We just read that in Hebrews that nothing was created that wasn't created through him, meaning Jesus. And we're now to bear the image of him who created us. And so if you've accepted Christ, you're a child of God, you now bear the image of God, and people today need to see God through his children, those who have received Christ. And so we are the image bearers of Christ. We're the image bearers of God once again. This in no way means that we are little gods, okay? We are not. But we do reflect who God is as being image bearers, and we do that through the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons why Jesus would say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is the light. And when you receive Jesus, the light is inside of you. Now let that light shine. Let them see Jesus in you. Be that image bearer. So from there, wanted to say all that last week, but we were running a little long. I know you're saying, what? That never happens. And so now we're at the third commandment here. Verse 7 of Exodus 20, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay, the word vain here in the Hebrew, shav, it means emptiness, vanity, nothingness. Don't use his name like it's nothing, okay? Don't use his name in an empty fashion, okay? In other words, do not misuse the name of the Lord God, Yahweh, in an empty manner. Don't do that. You misuse the name of the Lord anytime you say his name, and it does not bring him honor. The beginning of this commandment where it says you shall not take, remember I mentioned last time that 8 out of the 10 commandments begins with lo, and it means no, okay? It's like God saying, okay, let's get something straight. No, 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 no. Yes, yeah, no, no. 8 out of 10 are no's, okay? And so, again, he makes it an emphatic declaration. Don't do this. Don't take his name in vain. Lo nasa. Nasa means lift up, exalt, raise up. Don't lift up, don't exalt, don't raise up in an empty manner, in a vain manner. Why? Because it has to do with his name. The word name here is Shem, means reputation, means name, but it means reputation. It means standing, his standing before the universe. It speaks of his fame. Do not lift up my reputation, my fame, in a vain or empty way. Don't do that. We're going to be able to see 4 different ways that that we have a tendency to, according to Scripture, misuse his name. And then the one that we all seem to do in the way of swearing and things like that, and we'll get to that one in a moment as well. But and there's probably more than these 4, but it doesn't matter how many there are. It's not so much to focus on the ways of not to do it, even though we're going to do that first. But there's a way to know not to do it by doing something else that we'll see here in a moment. So false oaths, again, Scripture interprets Scripture. So Leviticus 19:12, and you shall not swear by my name falsely. You shall profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. So again, do not swear by my name falsely. If you do that, you're profaning his name. The word profane here in the Hebrew is chalel, and it means to defile, pollute, desecrate, make common, dishonor. Dishonor. Now, do not swear you're telling the truth when you're not going to tell the truth. Don't say you're going to do something and then not do it. Same thing. Okay? Don't make a, say you're going to do something and then not do it. Don't say something is true when it's not. Whenever you have a person say, no, no, man, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Why a stack? Why not just one Bible? Why do you even have to say that? It's because your word is no good, that's why. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. James also brings that up. He says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no, and make sure you don't swear by either heaven or earth or any other oath. And if you do, you're going to fall into judgment if you do that. Jesus makes it very clear that let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why? Because anything else is evil. Being a child of God, your yes should be yes just because you're a child of God and you represent God. Your no should be no just because you're a child of God. Anything more than that means that your word is no good. That's why you have to evoke the name of God somehow. Because a lot of times, I swear to God, I'll be there. Well, why do you have to say that? Because when you say you're going to be somewhere, you usually aren't. Your word is horrible. Now, we all know of what it is to be faithful. Faithful is that you're going to carry out the responsibility that's given you. But guess what? Sometimes things happen, don't they? Hey, where's Joe? You know, Joe is always here for this, to help out with this. I don't know. He said he was going to be here. Let's call Joe. Hey, Joe, what's up? Man, I'm broken down on the side of the road, about 15 miles out, but a tow truck's coming and did it. Now I know. That's what would keep Joe from being here. His truck, his car breaking down, you know. As opposed to, okay, let's use another name, not Joe. Say Andy. Any Andys here? Have any Andys? I don't want to offend anybody. Anybody named Andy? Okay, good. All right. Let's say Andy, okay, all of a sudden, we're expecting him somewhere. He's not there. And you kind of go, well, where's Andy? Well, you know, he said he was going to come, but you know Andy. So you call Andy. Oh, man, sorry. I slept in. That's just somebody that their word is no good, okay? And it's those guys that have to say, I swear to stack of Bibles on my mother's grave. Okay, why? Because your word is no good. That's why. That's why you have to do that. Your word is no good. But as a child of God, your yes should be yes, and your no should be no. And when you're not able to make something or do something, what do? You usually call as well and say, man, I know I said I'd be there, but I can't. This is what happened. You know, and you go, I get it, you know. And so again, you're known by your reputation, but your reputation isn't so much because you want to be that before man. It should be because you want to be that way before God. You know, I said I would do that. I got to let my yes be yes. And if it isn't being a child of God, guess what? I'm dishonoring God by not fulfilling what it is that I said that I'm going to do. You know, you go into a court of law, and I just found this out, by the way. And you're supposed to say, they'll take the witness stand. You place your hand in a Bible. Well, today you don't put your hand in a Bible. Had somebody who's involved with the law right now tell me that. I go, I didn't know that. I thought they still did that. Did anybody else think they still did that? Am I the only ignorant person here? Okay, good. But they do say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And they say yes to that if they're going to take the stand. I don't think you can say no to that. And they said, okay, get on the stand. But it used to be, so help you God. They don't say that anymore. Now it's just, because if you lie, it's perjury. And so they want you to be fearful that they'll go after you if you perjure yourself, okay? As opposed to, but before, it was my standing before God. I should care more about my right standing before God than before man. But that's now been kind of like taken away or whatever. But if you lift your hand to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you lie, you have just dishonored God. You've brought God into your lie. Because people know, wait a minute, you say you're a Christian. You say you believe in Jesus. I do. And yet you lied? What kind of a God do you worship? What kind of God is it that doesn't seem to care? I thought God was supposed to be moral, and yet doesn't seem to make you moral. You're bringing God into it. You damage his reputation. And that's why you don't make a vow if you don't think that you're going to be able to do it, you know. And that is why you need to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Second way you can misuse his name is through false prophecy. So the prophets would say, thus saith the Lord, I'm speaking for God. God put this message on my heart to speak to you, thus saith the Lord. Yet if you're a false prophet and God didn't say that to you, Jeremiah 14:14, and the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, who say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. False prophecy is an attempt to use God's divine name to show that somehow you're special and that you speak for God. It's amazing to me how many people love to see all these, you know, prosperity preachers and how often they're wrong with their prophecies and this, that, and the other thing. And people still continue to listen to them. You're responsible for who you put yourself in front.
This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.